Hadouken!
Finish him!
Ladies and gentlemen,
boys,
what's cracking?
How's everybody doing out there in Radio Land?
Radio Land or Video Land? Who are we?
I am Boss Battle Tim, aka TJ Combo, and you?
I am Adam Ronan, aka Adam Ronan,
also known as Adam Ronan.
Yeah,
yep.
Twitter handles—they're there. If you're watching this on YouTube, there they are. If not, at Boss Battle Tim or at Adam Ronan underscore XXIV for those of you listening as a audio podcast.
Because that's kind of cool. We're giving you guys now the option to do both.
Yeah.
And what is this podcast? What are we doing here?
So this particular podcast, Mr. Combo, in case you're not aware, if you want to know what we're talking about,
give me details.
This is the Ronin Dojo. This is a fight game specific show.
So basically, we're just going to talk about the news like as it comes to us, right? Because sometimes maybe it's off season, there's not anything going on, and this is going to be where we're going to talk about some fight game news, but from like a really casual approach.
Yeah.
Right, we want to try and make it, I think, a little more accessible to people who are new to fight games. Right, I think sometimes like you only get like expert level stuff, and you're like, I mean, I just don't know what's going on. So we're gonna kind of give this like the middle ground, right? Like where we play as a fan, we play as like casual, but also we can
aspiring competitors.
Exactly. Yeah. So it'll be like a cool kind of platform for you guys to jump in and create some conversation, and also we'll give you some details along the way.
Yeah. And so you are probably watching this on YouTube, or you're listening to it on iTunes, your favorite podcast of choice, but also we're going to kind of do things a little bit differently. There'll be times like this where it's normal, where it's just recorded and you can watch it, or sometimes we'll be streaming it on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/r24live. If there's like a tournament or something, we'll commentate that, and that'll also go on YouTube and podcast, and you can watch it live. So there'll be a lot of different ways you can consume the Ronin Dojo. And
And also our goal is to maybe even start playing with you guys a little bit more, and that would happen here as well. And it'd be the same thing, where we're just playing some casual matches, doing some learning, having some fun, but also we'll be able to play with you guys and talk and tell the news while it's happening.
Yeah, and that's really exciting. So I think something that might be fun is, you know, our audience as it is probably is already kind of knows who we are, but as we're expanding and new fight game players are coming in and discovering us, they probably don't know. So let's just real quick touch on like...
Right, we're not exactly Daigo and Justin Wong here, right?
Well, you might not be, but... but maybe let's just touch on real quick our history in fighting games. Like, what have we done? What do we enjoy? What's your favorite series of choice? And go from there. So just real quick, kind of like... What do you play? What's your passions fight game-wise?
So I guess my experience started back in the day on Sega Genesis, because I was 90s. A Genesis guy.
Yeah. Yep.
With like your MK1, your Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Championship Edition, all of those, right? That's like where everything began, what I loved.
Yep.
And I always played like the one-off things, like your Primal Rage. At the time, Killer Instinct was a one-off thing for a little bit.
That's true.
As well.
Yeah.
Wasn't the main popular one.
Primal Rage.
Yeah.
That just fucking hit me right in the nostalgia feels
right there. Those Eternal Champions and stuff. Yeah. Those level fatalities.
God, that's good stuff.
But I loved them both. MK always released like right around my birthday, which was super cool. It was like guaranteed that when it came out, that's what I was getting for my birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
But then Street Fighter, I played just nonstop throughout the year.
Yeah.
Like just over and over again. Beat that horse.
That was your thing.
Just beat that horse.
Yeah, beat it up.
And then I was always kind of that kid that was like the best on the street. You know, but there, I had like no awareness that there was like a tournament scene that evolved.
I don't think there even really was one back then, like so to speak. There was like arcades that would have tournaments, but
yeah, there was like arcades.
There was no Evo, and, there was no Combo
like,
Breaker.
And, like in Blockbuster, right? Blockbuster used to have like video game tournaments. I mopped those. Those were free. Mm. I was like, just give me my fucking $10 gift card.
And now you mop GameStop tournaments.
Yep. GameStop tournaments. Those are fun now because we just walk in and take whatever prize they give us. So I did that. And, obviously, like in 09, you know, Street Fighter had its huge resurgence. I got back into it, Street Fighter 4. But I was just isolated. I had no idea that there was like a huge fight game community that was growing.
Right.
I got into it again with MKX.
Yep.
MKX dropped, and I was like, wait, there's people who are playing this? Wait, competitively? Wait, there's money? Wait, there's people on Twitter? There's a whole family here. Let me in. So, like, I did like ESL for that stuff, local tournaments, GameStop. Free, mopped it clean.
Yep.
Whole prize. And then I had my issues with MKX, right? I wasn't like always a huge fan, had some problems.
Yep, it's a back and forth. It's a love-hate relationship with MKX. I am more on the love side just for the nostalgia's sake, but it did have some issues for sure.
Right, but then when Street Fighter came around, that's when I jumped back in, went all in. I've had
tournaments, Evo.
Regional tournaments this year. I've had three majors. I did Combo Breaker, I did Evo, I did SCR. For regional stuff, I did Hyper Battle 3, I did Boss Battle, all kinds of stuff. I've tried to really get my head out there as much as possible and just keep getting my butt kicked.
And that's what I think is cool, how we can bring this together, because we're casual to a point, but it also comes from two different angles, because you're on the more of the competitive side and I'm more of the just the fanboy side of things. Like,
right.
I love the games, I love the stories, I love the characters,
the lore, the character, yeah,
and I'm just, but I'm not like super good at them. Like, as much as I want to be competitive, I just don't have the time to put into it, because you really got to put in some time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, Mortal Kombat's my game of choice in terms of, I mean, I love Killer Instinct maybe more in terms of gameplay, but Mortal Kombat's like my favorite in terms of character franchise. Right. I love Street Fighter, but I do have some issues with Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
But
we'll get into those here and there. Yeah. I'm sure that'll come up a time or two.
Yeah. So, my beginnings started in the 90s as well, MK1, and then I got right into MK2, and I was pretty good at MK2, still am. And I won a big tournament in MK2 back in the 90s, and I kind of just stuck with it from then. Didn't like MK3 as much just because of the, you know.
Had the new run mechanics and stuff.
Get your robots out of my Asian mythology type of thing, you know. MK4 I was a big fan of. Not a lot of people like that. That's like pretty black sheep there. And then I stuck with the franchise all the way through Deadly Alliance, Deception. Actually, Deadly Alliance Deception Days is kind of how we became friends.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, you like Mortal Kombat? The new game's coming out. Let's come over and play.
I was like, what? A person to play with? I was like, I'll go buy it right now.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
we played the hell out of Deadly Alliance.
Yep.
Yeah. Played that game for like a million hours, it felt like. We had everything.
And I lost every one of those matches.
Yeah. But it was fun. That was cool. That was like just hanging out on a couch with your buddy and just rumbling away.
Yeah. And then it kind of stuck all the way through MK9. You know, when they rebooted, I was all about it. And then Killer Instinct came out, and I have put in hundreds upon thousands of hours into that. And then I was right there for MKX, and I'll be right there for Injustice 2 and MK11, minus whatever issues they'll have. And we'll get into those too, probably.
So that's kind of where we come from. But obviously, we're going to talk about more current news, right? So, of course, if you guys have questions on any of that stuff, you know, you can tweet us or hit us in the comments or whatever. But for now, let's talk about what's coming.
Yeah, so there's a couple games on the horizon that we're excited about. But one in particular, because it's a franchise that I fell in love with for a while, then I fell out of love with it, and now it looks like I might be able to fall back in love with it. I feel like you were the same.
Yep.
So Tekken 7 Fated Retribution is coming to the States. Let's talk about it, because you've had some hands-on with it when you were at SCR, right?
Yep. So the first time I got to see it was they had a tournament at Combo Breaker. It was there. Okay. It was a side tournament. Most of the tournaments have been free. Like, you just sign up and compete. And, like, I just wasn't confident enough because I haven't played Tekken in so long.
Now, what's the last Tekken game you dug into?
So, for me, 3 was the last one that I really put all my heart and soul into.
Samesies.
Loved 3. And what's funny is it feels like there's a lot of people that were kind of in the same vein. Like, a lot of people were like, man, 3 is where it peaked for me. And then there was a split. Like, you either really liked the new direction with, like, Tekken Tag and, you know, 5 and 6, or you kind of left behind and you still enjoyed 3.
Yeah.
And maybe you played other 3D fighters, like DOA or Virtual Fighter still.
Yeah. Do they sell like Virtual Fighter games?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So I played Tekken 2 and Tekken 3 just nonstop. And then I stopped, and then I tried playing Tekken 6, I think it was. And I just could not get into it for some reason or another. And I just kind of wrote it off. But I'm kind of getting excited about Tekken 7. It's looking like it's kind of going back to its classical roots, with the addition of one of my favorite Street Fighter characters, which is also one of yours, as a guest fighter. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. So this one, I mean, there's been a lot of talk that people say that this one feels more like the speed of Tekken 3. So it doesn't feel slow, per se, right? But it's just not, like, as in your face as some other fighters are. So I think if you're playing, like, you know, definitely a game that's rushed down, like, you know, if I have Saberwolf in my face and then I play Tekken, it's like, man, this game's really slow.
Right.
But it's a very technical thing, because if you mess up in Tekken, you get punished so hard. right? It's like the equivalent of like a crush counter in Street Fighter, mm-hmm. where you're just going to eat so much damage, it's not even funny. And if you're near a wall or if they smash you through the floor, you're going to eat that much more on top of it. So a round goes away pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It is first of three, so it's a slightly different format than the, you know, the and first of two.
That's how it's standard?
Yeah.
Out of the box?
Yeah, just out of the box, just like that.
Interesting.
So the matches, like, there's some really good strategy there. You can get out, you can get a lead, but if that person catches on, it's almost like an entire match plays out within a round, right? Because like in MKX had this issue where they were two of three and then they switched to a three of five format because their matches are just so fast. It's like, boom, 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 you're dead.
Yeah.
Street Fighter is now doing that with the Capcom Cup. They're switching to a three of five format
really?
Across the board for their finals. And that's because I think the matches, like, they happen so quickly. You lose so much damage that you don't have the ability to adjust, right? And when I sat down and I played Tekken for the first time, I was actually playing with some people who were, like, devoted Tekken players. Like, they went to SCR for Tekken. That's mm-hmm. what they were there for. And SoCal, of course, has, like, an excellent Tekken scene. And, like, I would get out to an early lead, and I'm like, all right, I'm feeling myself. I'm getting back into this. And it was, like, seconds later, they're like, I see what you're doing, and you're going to stop now. And it was like, oh.
So there's going to be, like, a decent learning curve just trying to get into from the best out of three, going into best out of five, and then mm-hmm. trying to, you know, strategize there.
Right. And because they're longer matches, like, you have more time for mind games. And I'm not saying that other fighting games don't have mind games. Like, they do, and I know somebody will misconstrue that and be like, harumph, harumph. But, like, it's because there's so much more time involved in just that one match mm-hmm. that you're going to have some time to feel that person out, see what they're doing. And that's, of course, going to speak to, like, veteran players.
Right.
Because they're going to let you do whatever they want. Because they already do that, right? Have you ever played, like, a veteran player in, like, Street Fighter? The round's over in seconds, but they'll still let you do whatever you want for like 10 seconds, see what your strategy is,
download.
And then they just spank you. Yep. Download complete.
Yeah.
It
reminds me at Evo 2016, our buddy Jeff against Justin Wong. It was very much, Justin let him, he felt him out for a minute, and then it was just like, boom.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between a casual player to me and a pro player is being able to read
and adjust. Super good.
Yeah.
I've taken one match off of Jeff ever, and I'm like, I'm super impressed with him as a player. And then I saw him play against Justin, and I was like, oh shit, that's what next level looks like.
Yep.
So now imagine giving even more time for him to feel him out. Like, you'll just download everything.
Yeah, that's
top
crazy.
Players. So lots of adjustments to be made, and then you really have to try and keep your concentration from start to finish.
So it's obviously a big selling point now that Akumu from Street Fighter is mm-hmm. going to be playable in Tekken 7 Fatal Retribution.
Right.
You had hands on with Akuma?
I did. So I've always been a Shoto guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
those are my favorite characters too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all about fucking hurricane kicks and throwing fireballs and, you know, the Shoryu life.
Yep.
And
kicking him in the stomach, puking on the feet type of thing.
Yeah. But it felt so cool, like, to just jump into a game that I've never played before. And it's like, I've played this before because it was slower.
And see, I can't picture that on how it would translate. So I'm like eating your words on that.
Yeah. And it's so weird. I'm sure, like, a lot of people are, like, true Tekken players, I would imagine, are maybe even kind of upset about it because you don't have, like, Akuma as a Tekken player. You have Akuma as a Street Fighter player in Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can jump, he can dive kick, he can, you know, if you leave a little gap in there, like, you're going to eat an uppercut, like, dragon punch right through the face.
Cool.
And I did that plenty of times. Like, somebody would come in, they'd rush, they'd have, like, maybe a break in their pressure, and I would just go back to, like, old school Street Fighter, and it's like, nope, just eat this.
Now, how does that translate, since it's 3D and with the sidestepping?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I feel like fireballs almost are rendered a bit useless unless they're faster because the sidestepping is just so simple. Just whoop, move out of the way of the
right.
fireball. So is his tool set as effective, would you say,
okay.
just in your time on
if it? You're full screen and you throw a fireball, it's the easiest thing in the world to do, right?
Yeah.
A little Hadouken comes out and you just rotate, just out of the way. That's not even a problem anymore. But, of course, both characters have the ability to rotate. So if they rotate maybe just one, you could try and pull it back into them.
Interesting.
That is, like, probably not going to happen too often, especially at full screen, and definitely hasn't happened really in any of the matches that I've watched so far. But that being said, there's now kind of like the mid-range, right? And at the mid-range, you now have to decide, am I about to rush in and see if, like, we're going to engage, or am I going to have to see if he's going to throw a fireball? Because now he's got an extension that's not common to 3D fighters. Mm-hmm. You know, he throws that and it's like, oh, you got to rotate. And as soon as you rotate, then he can make his next move.
Oh, cool.
So mm,
I like it. So you would be more in tune to probably use the fireball and those types of things in middle of combos. Is it, can you mm-hmm. still translate it into that? Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you can still, pop, pop, you can still Hadouken. Do your, like your straight up, you know, low kick confirm into a Hadouken, cool. right? Like that's still there. So classic players are going to feel really at home with that. It didn't take me any time whatsoever to understand what was going on. I just felt at home instantly. I was like, man, I got it. I'm ready to go. The I'm excitement really... for me though, is to actually learn Tekken again.
Yeah. What do you know about Roster? Is because it's already out in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And explain to me, as somebody who's not super familiar with it,
mm-hmm.
What's the difference between the one coming out here that compared to the one that's already out in arcades in Japan? Port?
Yeah, I think it'll just get ported to console.
Mm.
So far, like all the tournaments have just had everything on PC. So they're like hidden under a cloth.
Okay.
You can't even see. But so I'm excited. And they haven't given us an official release date yet. I pre-ordered mine. Mine's been pre-ordered for like a month.
Right.
Because I want it on my door day one. But, you know, pre-order date says like December 30th, which is like just like a generic placeholder date. I haven't seen an official date. But
are you expecting it by end of year?
Well, actually, so Justin Wong just did the Tekken tournament, and he said he got bodied, he got knocked out or whatever. But he said that it's expected to release in January. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's some insider information that he dropped without cool. letting us know.
So that's not far.
Yeah. But they said it's beginning. It's like quarter one of 2017. So it'll be early.
Cool.
So plenty of time to learn it before I have to go to Combo Breaker again in May.
So besides Tekken, mm-hmm. You're kind of getting into a different genre of fighters now that we haven't really played before.
Right.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I imagine you might be playing some of those at Combo Breaker as well.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
There's So I'm trying to take the big boy jump. And like, I just love fighters, right? Like, I know there's people out there that are hardcore, like they play Street Fighter.
Yep.
They play Mortal Kombat, right? And that's their love, that's their focus. I love fighters, so I do play them all. Only some have I competed in. Some I've competed in just for fun. Like, I played Killer Instinct because I just thought it was fun. Because
it's
just a fun game. Yeah. Like, I'll just compete and just go in there and, you know, play my game. And if I win, I win. If I lose, I lose.
Yep.
Street Fighter, you know, I tilt. Like, if I lose in Street Fighter, I'm like, get away from me for like the next 5 hours. Like, I'm gonna go.
I know that feel.
Kick puppies. But with the other genre I'm trying to get into is the anime.
And this is a genre I want to get into, but I haven't taken the plunge yet.
Right. So of course we're talking like, you know, Skullgirls, Guilty Gear, and now most recently for me, BlazBlue Central Fiction on PS4.
And it's a natural transition because we're a fan of actual animes. We enjoy watching them.
Yeah, totally.
So there's no reason why we don't play them.
Yeah.
And it's funny because back when we were younger, fighting games were a dime a dozen. You could go to Blockbuster and rent like 15 different fighting games that you'd
yeah,
never
totally,
even played
yeah.
before. There was Clay Fighter. There was all these other weird things.
Yep.
Everybody was trying to get on the Mortal mm-hmm. Kombat Street Fighter train back then. But now I feel like it's such a smaller genre that there's only like four or five to pick from. And, you know, it's interesting that there's a whole niche of fighting games that we're just now kind of starting to mess with.
Right. Now, I mean, there are some people, like, this is their niche. This is what they play. They are very passionate at it. And I know some of those people. And
well, there's the two sides of the tale.
So
at every
good.
Competition, there's always, like, everyone over here. Well, there's mm-hmm. actually, it's cut into, it's like a high school clique. There's like, oh, there's the Smash players over there.
Yeah.
Over here's the Street Fighters.
Yep.
There's the NRS guys over there.
Yep.
And then in the other room is the anime players.
Yeah. And it's like, yep. there's always a divide. And like, people will play in both tournaments because a lot of like your fundamentals and things cross over. But you can tell the one they're passionate about, right? Like for me, I was passionate about Street Fighter at Combo Breaker. And then I would just like roll over, play some Killer Instinct, have fun.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can tell like this is what they do. And the way they talk about it and like everything that comes from their fingertips is about anime fighters. Like, this is like their lifeblood. And I can see why, because the games are just so good.
They're smooth.
It's not even funny.
And they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And these are, it's different because, you know, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat and Killer Instinct, mm-hmm. 3D models, motion captured, you know, but there's something different about the anime games that are hand animated that are just like, you can just tell
yeah.
the love that was put into the, even just the one punch. You're like,
yeah,
look at
totally.
All that. Look at the cloth's moving. It's a beautiful experience to play
yeah.
these games. Totally looks different.
Yeah. And you know, you look at like the we'll just call them super moves, like just to be generic for both sides. Yeah. But like you look at like the super moves right now, and they're kind of like just like a big wash of things that happen in Street Fighter. It's like, and then boom, it's over. Mm-hmm. And like you do that in Guilty Gear, and you get like a 3-minute presentation about how hard you're kicking this guy's ass. You're like, what is happening? Like, this is so much fun to watch. And of course, their soundtracks are phenomenal. Like mm-hmm. they're just over the top, like cool guitar shreddy stuff, which is right up my alley.
And, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you just need some blast beats.
I know, right?
At home. So you just got Blaze Blue, and mm-hmm. you've been playing Guilty Gear for a while now. Mm-hmm. It might be too early to make the comparison, but which do you prefer in terms of the two?
Man, I hate to take sides because I know there's somebody out there that's like going to instantly alienate
yeah.
the second.
Yeah, yeah. The caveat to that is we haven't put enough time into either of them to make. But
right, yeah.
right off of the like graphics, characters, like
yeah,
which
again,
one
this,
do you?
I want to give this from like a fan perspective, right? Yeah. Like I know people have been playing Guilty Gear, you know, for just years or whatever, and they're on that side. And, you know, there's people on the Blaze Blue side, and they'll probably both play, but, like, as soon as you pick a side, there's, like, they're not friends anymore.
Yep.
But personally, I think Guilty Gear is a better-looking game across the board.
Hands down, probably one of the most gorgeous anime games I've seen ever.
It's just one of the most gorgeous games I've ever played. Yeah. Like, there's so many wow moments in there that I sit back, and I'm just like, I can't believe that happened. And then, you know, like, you know, characters that have so many things going on screen. And when you have that many things going on screen and it's still dropping no frames and playing online perfect, I'm like, man, you know, Axis knows how to make a video game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just like on another level. So obviously when they make Blaze Blue, you know, they're still using those characters. But what's weird for me is I feel like Guilty Gear is a better game. Right? Mm-hmm. Even though they're very similar,
yeah.
similar mechanics and such.
And to the untrained eye, someone would be like, oh, I thought they were the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. However, I'm having a lot more fun with Blaze Blue.
Interesting.
Yeah, which I've always wanted to play Blaze Blue. Like, they're always, like, super cheap at GameStop. Like, back on even, like, the PS3, Xbox 360 days yep. kind of thing. You know, it's like, I'd walk in, I'd be like, $19.99. I was like, I'm probably going to be the only dude playing it. And then this is, like, my first entry into Blaze Blue. And I'm like, man, this is, like, just, it dangles the carrot.
Yeah.
Like, every time I hit, like, a new combo, I'm like, man, I earned that. I feel good. All right, let's keep going.
I played not this the one that was just before this that was on PlayStation 4 and
the Chrono Phantasma.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I wanted to call it. Yeah, I played that because I was game sharing with somebody for a while and they had it. And
good on them.
My problem, I didn't have a problem with it, but the reason that I didn't gravitate to it more was character selections that they just didn't appeal to my taste. Like everybody mm-hmm. was super wacky in Blaze Blue, like. Very as deep down the rabbit hole in anime that you can get.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I might prefer Guilty Gear more once I start digging in them, just mm-hmm. because the characters are more grounded in the things that I enjoy.
Yeah.
To a degree.
And you know what's weird is like, you're not the only person who said that to me, because, you know, I try and engage with as many people as I can on Twitter about this stuff just because I love it. Like, I'm enjoying it so much. I want to kind of, you know, talk to other people who have that passion, right?
Yeah.
And I'm talking to them about it, and they always say the same thing. They're like, man, Blaze Blue characters are just so out there and crazy. And then I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, Guilty Gear has a person that's, like, made out of half of a fucking bed. Like, I don't understand, you know, like where that comes from. I think they're both very similar. And again, you know, same developer and stuff. So they're both going to have definitely a strong Japanese feel.
Yep.
Which, of course, is also another problem with the new Blaze Blue, as it has no English dub to it whatsoever.
Yes, and I actually think that's awesome. A lot of people are really upset about it.
Oh no, you didn't say that. Yeah. Oh no, you didn't say that.
Hang me from the tree if you must, but I think that's super
cool. Talk about unpopular opinion. Like, so I was checking it out, and I was like on their Facebook page, and everybody's like, no English dub, no buy. And I get that their voice actors in the past were really cool. I looked up some videos, I watched it. I love voice actors more than anything, because I love cartoons, and I think voice acting is one of the most underrated talents in the world.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's just incredible. Like, some of these people do. Shout out to Tara Strong, you beautiful beast.
Oh, God. Oh,
man. But that being said, when I play a game that has, like, the Japanese version of it, mm-hmm. I tend to play, like, Japanese version of it.
Yep.
Like, I can read subtitles, guys. I don't need that.
Well,
but that's the representation they created. I want to see it in that way.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same. It's the same for watching anime. Like, I almost never watch anime in an English dub.
Oh, God, no.
Because it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I want it to see it as it was intended to be seen, mm-hmm. you know, from the way it was created. It's like, you know, I don't go see a French movie that was, you know, released in France, but watch it in English dub. Like, it just, yeah. it's not how you want to see something.
And the example I used was, like, I don't want to hear Rammstein in English. I want to hear it in German. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what it was created in. That's the artwork of what it was, you know, like just kind of accepted as that. And again, I know that they previously had amazing English voice actors there, and I get that sucks to lose them, especially if you had it in the past. But don't let that deter you from playing the game and having a fun experience, you know, moving forward, because everybody's like, you know, no dub, no buy. And I'm like, you're lost, dude. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're the one missing out on this. And hopefully down the road, you know, maybe if it had good sales, maybe they'd bring on, you know, an updated English team or something. And basically, yep, the developer said, you know, we skipped that so that we could bring the product to you sooner. That's cool. Like, think, you want the soon. You want the
just
product,
skip
right?
it altogether, you know, in my opinion. I mean, I'm kind of strange, though. Like, even in Street Fighter V, I'll set all the Japanese characters mm-hmm. to Japanese, you know, and not, like Ken, I'll keep in English and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. like Ryu, I have him in Japanese. Like, I just like, you know, cultural accurate experiences.
And I'm the same way. You know, I'm not looking for the English version of Rammstein anytime soon.
And speaking of Japanese anime games, and mm-hmm. we kind of maybe go back to the past, there's a particular game that I myself am very passionate about, mm-hmm. and you've played, and you know, it's just a fantastic series from SNK, mm-hmm. Samurai Showdown, which has kind of been lost to the ages.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself, Gordy, probably you, mm-hmm. We're all kind of like, man, I really wish they'd make another Samurai Showdown game. I've talked about it on live shows several times.
A couple million times it's come up.
You know, it's a reboot that I'm anxiously hoping for.
Right.
And obviously, there's been no word for it.
Yeah, obviously SNK put their eggs in another basket because they just did KOF 14. So it looks like at this stage, they're not doing anything with Samurai Showdown.
Yeah, well, so Samurai Showdown, you know, had its ups and downs. Samurai Showdown 2 was fantastic. And then 3 and 4 were like crazy over the top, mm-hmm. like violent, you know, samurai experiences, which were just super cool to me. And mm-hmm. Showdown 5 was like crazy. They had fatalities. Mm-hmm. They had all kinds of stuff. It was like this.
But did they speak English? Because I only want my samurais right. to speak English.
Exactly. And then
make samurais English again.
And then they did a totally different thing when it goes to Samurai Showdown 6. They kind of cowered in the face of some criticism that they had. They got rid of all the violence and kind of destroyed everything that Samurai mm-hmm. Showdown was all about. And then the series just kind of gone.
Gotta stick to your roots, man. Like Mortal Kombat with no fatalities.
Yeah, we saw how that played out on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Genesis was like, give me that money.
Yeah, it was like...
yeah. But then some interesting news happened on Event Hubs a day or two ago.
Mm-hmm. So there are people in this world that are still passionate about some of those games that, you know, weren't the Mortal Kombat, they weren't the Street Fighter. And some of those people also happen to make other games.
Because it's true.
That's their passion. Mm-hmm. People like Harada.
Mm. And what does he make?
Tekken.
Tekken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like you guys, like if you see Harada, he's like the smoothest dude in the world.
Oh, he's like
he's just like
he's the like the pimp. A short Japanese George Clooney. He's just like got his sunglasses.
Like he's always got a leather coat on. Like he is like straight from anime fucking coolness. Like he rides in like on like this like extended crotch rocket.
Yeah.
You know, and like he's like, man, there's lights flashing by him, and he's just like,
but it's like an Akira.
Yeah, it's like Akira. Yeah, and he like slides in sideways, and like he just like stands off, doesn't like, there's no kickstand, but the bike still stands up, you know.
Yep.
And he's just like, whoosh, and then it goes slow motion, and you're like, what's he gonna say?
Yeah.
What's he gonna say? Well, and he doesn't say a word because he's that badass. And he leaves his sunglasses.
E3 2016, he came out in full like kimono samurai pants. And I was like, this guy's cool.
Yeah, dude. And, funny story about that is we were at Evo, and mm-hmm. they had like this huge Tekken statue, and he was signing autographs, he was signing free posters, and our buddy Jeff, we were talking about earlier, gets in line, and I was like,
and he was in line for,
dude, I saw him right at the front. I was like, what are you in line for? And he was like, oh, he's like Harada, he's signing posters and stuff. I was like, oh, that's super cool. I was like, wait, where's the line? And it was like, I looked and it was just wrapped around the building. I was like, oh shit. He's like, I've been in line for 2 hours already.
Second
and I was
to like, none to the arcade shock line or whatever it was.
Yeah, right. And I was like, oh man, I was like, I don't want to meet him that bad. So it comes Sunday, and you know, we're at Mandalay Bay and we're watching the Evo finals, and Mr. Adam Ronan's like, he's like, I'm gonna get a hot dog, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, I'll be right back. Like, I check my phone like 20 seconds later, and it's like him and Harada taking pictures together. And he's like, look at this. I didn't have to wait at all. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I went out there and I got some popcorn, and I'm just stretching legs. And Harada just walks up and he's like texting, just standing there. Yeah. All these nerds just walking past him. And I was like, oh. And I was like, picture? He's like, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like super cool about it. Yeah.
And Jeff was so salty.
Yeah. He was
like, what the fuck?
So you didn't get a free poster out of it, but you did get the picture.
I have the photo and I have the experience here.
Yep.
But anyway.
Touch, that personal touch, right? Just rubbed off like a little bit of magic on you.
Because he was in his phone.
Yeah, like as soon as he touched you, we were like, we should make a video game.
Yeah.
I wish he would have touched you longer.
How do you know he didn't?
That's true.
There's some things a man keeps to himself. What's up, Harada?
Doesn't kiss and tell. I like that.
So anyway, Harada, being the genius that he is, has been outspoken that he's a huge Samurai Showdown fan. Goes back to his roots. So the Event Hub's article, Harada was talking about, you know, Samurai Showdown's one of his passionate series that he's a big fan of. It makes sense because he's obviously very clearly a fan of the culture, you know, Japanese and the Samurai Showdown, samurai pants, kimono to Komodo and everything.
Yeah.
And he said that he had interest in making a Samurai Showdown game, and he expressed interest. There wasn't much to go on. It was a very brief quote on Event Hubs that I'll put here on the screen. If you're listening to the podcast, you can go read it. But he just said basically that, you know, he has been toying around the idea of buying the rights to Samurai Showdown to bring it back to the roots and give it the entry that the series deserves. And I was just like, dog, give it to me.
Like, there's ways that they could pull that off without having to officially buy the rights. They could let him take over. He could run his own studio, have them do it, and SNK just keeps their name, you know, associated to it. Everybody profits. Everybody wins. Right?
I mean, that you think that because you would think, and this of course doesn't fit in the genre, but if it was that easy, then why the fuck isn't Marvel making the X-Men movies, right? But yes.
We all have to play nicely in this intense, perfect world of sharing rights.
I do think, though, that it is probable that they would sell the rights because they obviously aren't doing anything with the series. Mm-hmm. They haven't even mentioned it or even done anything with the IP. So they're probably just like, yeah, take it.
Yeah.
You can do what you want. Because they're very clearly just involved
unless they got something in their pocket.
And now I'm not trying to upset fans or step on any toes, and I hope they don't have something in their pocket because nothing about King of Fighters has impressed me.
16 impressed the shit out of me. It's got all kinds of craziness.
So I played it a little bit. Obviously graphics aren't anything, and that's fine. You know, I played the shit out of Skyrim, and that's one of the worst looking games of all time. But I think that it's weird to me. It's sluggish. The animations are kind of weird. I'm just not a fan. It's just not my cup of tea. It's probably a very fine game if you're a fan of it. Don't let that deter you. It's just not my cup of tea. So I'm hoping that they don't be like, let's make another Samurai Showdown, but cut all these weird corners like we did with King of Fighters.
Fighting games are flavors, right? Like, they're all fighting games, but they all have, like, something that makes them spicy or something that makes one sour. Like, they're all just very unique, and I prefer them to be unique. And while I will play them all, there's some that I'm just not going to devote my time and my efforts into. King of Fighters for me is something that people have been invested in for a very long time. King of Fighters to them is Street Fighter to me. So while I'll jump in and I'll play it, I haven't put a lot of time into it. I think there's a pretty big learning curve to it, you know, because it's any game with a tag system, I think, is difficult because you can't learn one character. You have to learn three.
Yeah. Right? And then you have to learn the three that play the best together, that make the best team, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you see it and you're like, I think it looks cool, go buy it. Buy everything. Buy a fight stick to go with it. Play it. Love it. Have after it.
Wear a Terry Bogard hat. You know, do what you gotta do.
Yeah, I know. I might wear the hat anyways. Yeah. But the fact is, for me, you kind of have to just, you know, how much time do I have in a day? Where am I going to allocate it to? Right now, it's, you know, Blaze Blue is getting almost 100% of my time currently. Leading up to SCR, it was 100% Street Fighter. I'm looking forward to adding Tekken into that and just kind of seeing what I enjoy most, because that's what's going to come down to me. Like, what do I just enjoy most?
Yeah. Well, what's the most fun? Because it's funny that you're saying this right now, but I know you as a human being that you say it's important to play what's the most fun, but you have no fun playing Street Fighter V. You just hate your life every moment.
It's true. Like, I'm like a miserable human being when I play Street Fighter, and it's like I'm so invested in every single match that, like, I have a hard time. Like, for me personally, and this is like the worst attribute you can have as like a fight game person, is I can't lose a match and like just be like, oh, I lost, what did I do wrong? I'm like, grr! And like I instantly tilt, and like it takes a while for me to cool down, then go back, see what I did wrong, make adjustments. And it's just like, I don't know, it's old competitive Tim gets like really feisty when he loses.
Well, it brings us to the next point. So we just kind of touched on the fact Tim gets feisty when he loses. There's been moments in Street Fighter V that you haven't been super stoked on. let's go into our final topic. Street Fighter V Season 2 is looking to be something that's happening.
Maybe Season 2. We don't actually know.
We don't know, but I'm going out on an assumption limb here. Mm-hmm. So Akumu was Akuma was a. I'm going back to our martial arts.
Yeah, Akuma. we actually took a martial arts that started with the word Akumu, yeah, so which is where that's ingrained in us.
Yeah, so he's been confirmed to be playable at the PlayStation Experience.
Yep, which is the Capcom Cup Finals. Yep. That's where that'll be held in San Francisco.
And so,
December 3rd and 4th.
That's exciting to us.
I'm super excited for it. Yeah. And it might not be the Akuma that we've seen recently. There's talk that the kanji that's on the back of him currently matches Shin Akuma, which is from prior games, right?
Interesting.
So it might be a slightly different version. We haven't seen anything else, you know, that confirms or denies this other than
the teaser trailer was very
Akuma.
You see nothing.
Yeah, right. But you know, that being said, you know, whether it's Shin Akuma or it's what we just saw like with Street Fighter 4, I'm super excited because, one, it adds another Shoto into the game, so it gives me something else that I could play with. And two, he's typically always been, like, just an over-the-top glass cannon. Like, he doesn't have the health that everybody does in the Shoto world, but his damage is through the roof. And I feel like that could be a huge power swing in a game where you can already take, you know, 50% health.
Right. So yeah, that's true.
I was like, man, what if he could do, like, what if he had, like, a 600 or 700 combo, but maybe he's only got, like, 900 health. Like that would be a huge exchange. His matches would be over before you could blink.
Yeah,
one way or the other.
Yeah. Let's talk hypothetically. If there's a Street Fighter V Season 2, mm-hmm. Let's talk about stuff we would want to see, kind of excited about, and of the big, you know, elephants in the room. What are the big concerns there? Mm-hmm. So obviously, I'm excited because the reasons I like Street Fighter are the characters. You know, the lore. You know, Ken and Ryu's relationships that had the, you know, the Japanese, right. Everything going back. Akuma mm-hmm. Is one of my favorite characters. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see a plethora of some of the other characters that I hope that they can bring forward. So what are you thinking for Season 2? What are you excited about? First mm-hmm. of all, let's talk positive before we get into the negatives.
All right. So currently, if you look at the way that they've laid out the characters, there are two available spots, which means that these could be a DLC that aren't Season 2.
Sure.
So while I'm not saying that they won't do a Season 2, because they will. It's Capcom. They have tried to milk every single cent out of this damn game that they possibly can.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you have to buy colors, you have to buy costumes, you have to buy stages, you have to buy alternate stages, you have to buy the, you know, the Season 1 pack. You know, I can't imagine in any world that Akuma drops for free. And any characters that come after him is probably going to be another $25. Yep. So the game's been rough on the wallet, especially when you play an anime fighter that's like, here's a whole bunch of character colors for free. And they're like, thanks, guys. Wasn't that hard to render blue to red, was it?
Well, I mean, I guess if we're going to start with the negative stuff.
Yeah, I was ready to get into the positive stuff, but yeah, it's easy to rant on that.
So the biggest concern, obviously, is cost.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of us, if you bought the game outright, $60. If you bought then the additional DLC characters, that was like $30.
I think it was like 25 or 25. Something like that. Yeah.
And then, you know, there was the
what else did I get? I bought the Capcom thing. I bought that pack
that
as well.
$20, wasn't it?
It was like a la carte, so I think you could do all of it for that. I think I bought the stage, which was 10. Because at the time, the stage, you know, it runs whatever the event is. So it ran Evo, which I was at. And I was like, of course, I'm going to buy the stage of the event that I'm at. And I actually bought it before I realized that changes. So I was like, oh, that kind of. I actually always wanted it to be, you know, representative of the tournament that I was actually at. Not the one that shows up right after that. But it was still cool. I bought that. I really haven't bought a lot of costumes. I feel like they're just kind of milking the dime. And I was like, man, this is getting rough on the wallet.
But if you were to have bought every piece of DLC that Street Fighter V has come out with, you're spending well over $150 for one single game, which is...
One person sent me the math one time. He's like, if you bought everything, he said it was like $237.
And that's silly.
That was before they even added more to it. So more's been added since then.
So based on this trend, if there's a Season 2 and they do all these types of same things with Season 2, you're mm-hmm. looking at like a $450 game.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
It's getting rough on the old wallet. I know that for sure. But that being said, as long as we keep buying it, they're going to keep charging for it. So it's the old DLC conundrum. I've chose to speak with my wallet. I'm not buying a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
I'd rather use fucking Ryu with a white costume than buy all the other stuff.
Yeah,
and yes, you can earn it, but man, it's the grind.
The grind is there.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. It's and then, like, they're doing like the weekly challenge now, which gets you maybe 5,500 to 8,000 fight monies. But then it's, you know, 80,000 to buy a color pack. And it's like, man, okay, I guess let's do this for the next 10 to 12 weeks.
Yeah, and it's contingent getting the monies in winning.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and they're pretty easy challenges. I think just about anybody could do them, but then you have to go do the challenges instead of practice. So for competitive players, do they even care? I doubt it. I'm not sure who that speaks to. I don't like the model at all.
Yeah.
But that being said, because of that, there's like a guarantee they'll do a season 2.
Yeah.
They're going to keep characters rolling, and they've always done that in Street Fighter where, you know, vanilla launches, and then they're like, here's Ultra and Super Ultra or whatever. Like, they're going to keep characters coming.
And the argument, cause I was talking to somebody the other day on Twitter, and I was like, I don't, you know, the cost is important to me. And they're like, you know, I'll spend whatever it is to support Capcom so they keep making Street Fighters.
Right.
I was like, sure, I get that, but they're making half-assed Street Fighters because the big elephant in the room right now is they still don't have a 100% working netcode.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like that has to be priority to be fixed before they move on to fluff, you know,
right.
Extra characters, costumes, stages. Why not fix what's the core game mm-hmm. mode, you know?
And they've got, so there's two different teams that have built Street Fighter V. There's the DLC team, which obviously is flourishing. They're doing quite well in making all the different colors and things for people and some of the different costumes, different Halloween costumes or whatever. They're the ones working on those types of things. But then on the other side of things is like the gameplay team, the team that does the netcode. And I really hope that maybe even at Capcom Cup that they announce some massive changes to the game. And those things would include, you know, the potential for season 2, netcode updates, which like we saw with MKX going to MKXL. You know, it took about a year, but when they adjusted, they went to a much better.
It's good.
They went to a much better setup.
Yeah, it's
you know,
really
it
good.
Plays really well. You know, Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue,
Killer Instinct has flawless. Netcode.
I mean, you have a harder time finding a match because there's just less people, right? But once you find a match, it just plays.
Yep.
And it's like there's no problem whatsoever. You know, same with Skullgirls. Skullgirls has phenomenal netcode. And if you feel like it's laggy, you can even make like graphical adjustments to it on your side, like you would as a PC. And make it better. So I still feel like Street Fighter needs to improve it. And I don't care. Like, people always tweet me, like, my experience is fine. And, like, everybody always says it like that, right? Like, my experience is fine. I don't know what your problem is. And I'm like, dude, it's like I've beaten this horse. But, like, I've got crazy fast internet. You know, everything's hardwired. I'm on Cat 6 cables. I've done everything to improve my experience. And the game just runs awful. It's just rollback, laggy. And for whatever reason, I always end up fighting a dude from, like, Brazil. And I'm like, no, oh my God, it takes 24 hours to fly there. How long is it going to take to send packets of information about what happened? It rolls back, everything's teleporting, and you lose points. I get frustrated and smash a controller.
And it's funny because we were playing Battlefield 1 the other night, which is just this huge graphical powerhouse.
64 players.
64 players all at once, and it was butter smooth. And I was like, and we were like, if they can put 64 players with these graphics
shooting bullets at each other,
walls crumbling,
this
buildings.
This dude's on a horse, that dude's in a tank, you know, this guy's climbing a ladder.
Yeah, there's an airship crashing into the ground, but you can't make two
explosions
dudes
everywhere. This guy's got like a cannon thing going on, and you can't make this guy punch that guy in the face.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So that's the big concern for me. I was like, because I'm not super good at Street Fighter, but I didn't want to put the time into trying to be good at it because, you know, I can only play the computer so long because they don't have shit for an arcade mode very, very much, like compared to other games. So, you know,
expanding. They're continuing to add to it, but yeah, you're right.
But if you really want to get the most out of Street Fighter, you got to hop online and compete and play against other people and, you know, do the competitive side.
You want to be the world warrior.
Yeah.
Right? That's like the whole thing. I want my little plane to go.
There's nothing more frustrating than being in the lab for 4 or 5 hours. And finally nailing what you want to do and then going online and it can't come out because the lag, the rollback, the and the things that you know are supposed to be working don't work because it's a different experience.
And I'll be vocal on that because I know like there's competitive players out there that are like, just deal with it. And it's like, but I'm not trying to be that hardcore competitive player from my perspective currently. I'm trying to bridge that gap between new player to casual to become competitive, right? I get that you've been, you know, competitive for 30 years and you're like, it's the best we've ever had, you know, deal with it. And it's like, it could be better. And for 2016, it should be better. And for a game that costs this much, it should be better.
Yep.
So I'd like to see that is like my number one fix. I don't care about season 2. It could stay as it is. Fix the netcode, make it that much better. And I think the game already has expanded because right now I feel like there's times I can't even play online.
Yeah. No, I agree. If netcode gets fixed and it's as flawless as some of its competitors, mm-hmm. it's a whole new game. It's a whole new game. It's a whole new experience. It's a much more enjoyable experience.
Right.
I don't know.
And then the competitive world just grows from it that much more. Because right now, you know, Japan and SoCal have still been dominating overall because they've got, you know, just the strongest local scenes. And then other players are, you know, really just harsh lab monsters that are working on it solo. They're carrying it over. I'd like to see that expand into other players that can, you know, increase their experience out of, you know, a rural area. Like, I'd love to see...
I hate that word.
Yeah, really?
Rural.
Yeah, but I'd love to see a dude who, you know, lives on a farm that can just beast and has no local scene whatsoever show up at a tournament like we just saw with Phenom. You know, Phenom was, like, from, like, Norway or something like that, and he just showed up and just wrecked Canada Cup just out of nowhere. Like, people didn't expect that. He's, you know, Norway's best player, and it's like, that's really cool. Like, he was able to lab that up, and maybe he's able to play online. I don't know. I don't follow him that closely.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see more no names just show up and just wreck stuff. I love seeing, like, you know, Daigo versus Taquito. That's just, you know, that's so much fun for me to watch. But it'd be really cool to see some no name dudes just show up and just start battling. And you're like, man, okay, this game's more competitive than we thought. That is what I think will increase the tournament scene itself.
Yeah.
More people are like, dude, I'm beast online. I'm going to show up and wreck some people.
I couldn't agree more. I think that was very well said.
But
for sure.
If I'm a casual player and I play online, and it feels like it's not working, and I lose like 5 matches in a row, there's no chance I'm going to invest my money to go to a major to show how good I am, because you don't believe you are.
Yeah, you don't even know. You can't say for sure.
You've never been able to truly test it or judge it.
Yeah. So. And of course, there's always the events where you can go and you've got a local scene, you know, go game night and play with your friends. But sometimes, you know, some people just don't have that option, like that dude on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an interesting concern, and I think that's important.
It's fun to watch the evolution in the game.
Yeah.
It's fun to talk about it.
So I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's probably a good point to probably just start to wrap things down now, or up, in?
Up, down, in?
Both.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? If you are excited about Street Fighter V's future, what are your concerns? We'd love to know. Mm-hmm. Hit us up on the Twitters if you're watching this on YouTube, comments, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We'll open up a forum here pretty soon. I'm putting together some emails, so if you've got like topics and questions you guys want us to cover, you can send in your things.
Suggestions and things, for
you can,
sure.
Of course, just hit us up on Twitter, and we'll answer those now. But
you know, and the other big thing, too, is that, like, you know, the whole vibe of this show is that, you know, if we say something and you feel like there's an excellent point to add in, please do so. Like, I want to present that to other people who are listening to the show, because, again, this could be somebody who this is their first foray into fight games. Like, let's give them more details. Let's be cool. Let's, you know, kind of grow, make our own little local community via online.
Yeah.
Right. Like, just keep expanding. That was the initial goal of the Ronin Dojo in the first place.
Yeah.
To share tech and just be like super positive about everything, like really try and expand and get more people into it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know what? And so you'll see more Ronin Dojo. If you have the app on iOS and Android, you can get that on your respective app stores. There'll be an update coming out for that soon. And then version 2 is in the works. That'll have a whole lot more content that will be more viable to your success as a fighting game player. So, Combo, play us out.